Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, we speak to people making a difference in Bedford County. Now, here's our host, Lloyd Roach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program over News Talk 98.7 and 1310 AM WBFD. This morning's program is brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. This morning, we have two guests. We have Pete Lohner and Ben Noggle, but first I'm going to tell you about these guys. These are tremendous public service. Personal Solutions, Inc. right here in Bedford, and they work with the addicted and people that need help and people who are recovering from substance abuse, and we're going to learn all about that. First of all, Pete, give me a little bit of an idea of how you got into this and what brought you into this particular field.
I got into this field. I've always worked in the nonprofit business when I was back in New York, New Jersey area. When I moved out to Bedford, I had known a friend from Staten Island. I moved out to Bedford here, and I had met the old director.
You knew somebody from Staten Island?
Yeah.
Bedford?
Yeah, but it was meant to be because I fell in love with the place immediately. And back in 1991, I had lung surgery back in Hackensack, New Jersey. And it was the first time that I had ever been introduced to a painkiller, Percocet. Mm. And that was my introduction. And something in my brain just said, I love this stuff. Mm. And from then I was on a 25-year run of just getting drugs. Just wow. Every day waking up, where am I going to get it? How am I going to get it? Where am I going to find it? By the grace of God, I got better. We see so many of our clients that don't. I got better, and I thought to myself, there's got to be a reason you got better. And I love the clientele that we deal with. So when I found out there was a position open here at PSI, Personal Solutions, I applied for the job and thankfully got it. Prior to that, I had worked a year inpatient at Pyramid Healthcare in Duncansville.
Let me back you up a little bit. This is interesting. You said you started on Percocet. That was a prescription drug.
Yeah.
So this wasn't intentional. This just sort of happened as a result.
No, in my case, it happened because of a medical procedure.
And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that we're listening to doorbells here because we do all of our stuff on location. We are actually here at PSI. This is a working office. So if you hear a phone ring or a doorbell, just ignore it. Listen to Pete. Anyway, go ahead, Pete.
Yeah. And, I'm sure Ben will tell you also, we hear more and more in our clients, especially the old vets, were prescribed this medication because of war injuries, and they became addicted to it. Mm-hmm. And then when the DEA started cracking down on prescription painkillers, their doctors just cut them off. And they were in withdrawal, and they were, and I have 72-year-old grandfathers that were now on the street trying to buy heroin to just get over the pain of the addiction. But yes, mine actually came because of a surgery.
Yeah, boy. So what about you? You're from, you're a New Yorker by birth?
New Jersey by birth, New York about 20 years,
right.
Palm Springs 8 years, Florida a year. I didn't like Florida.
So you're a national citizen. This is great.
Yeah, I'm a bachelor.
Well, it's great to have you here, and I appreciate it very much. Personal Solutions, Inc., PSI, as it's known around here, this is part of a network of help, isn't it?
Well, what PSI is, PSI used to be a part of the county in 1999.
Oh, really?
From 1999 on, we became our own nonprofit, which has worked to our benefit. We don't answer to anybody. We don't answer to the commissioners or anything like that. We're our own entity. But we do act as the County Drug and Alcohol Office, or what's called a single county authority, an SCA. Mm-hmm. Every county in the Commonwealth has an SCA. I don't know where they get that from or what that means, but that's what we are. Some of the smaller counties, an SCA will cover two or three counties. We just cover Bedford. And like I said, every county in the Commonwealth has one. We are the Drug and Alcohol Office. We assess people. We get them the proper level of care. We get them insurance. And if we can't get them insurance, we are the payer of last resort. We will pay for their treatment.
This is a problem in Bedford County, as it is in probably all 67 counties and maybe every county in the United States of America. We all hear about it on the news. I've interviewed you guys for years on our newscasts about this. But Is there any improvement that you can see because of the efforts you guys have done?
The only improvements that I've seen, unfortunately, the drug use continues. Yeah. You know, as long as there's a desire, there will be drugs. What I've seen in Bedford County is a change in attitude, and that's big. Because when I first got here and under different management, there was such a stigma, and PSI really didn't get involved with the community. We just sat here and we did assessments, and we weren't part of the community. We weren't educating the community the way we should be. I mean, we should be the catalyst of whatever happens here in this community, and we weren't doing that. New management came in, and basically Adam said, "You guys do what you do. Go out there and do what you do." So we've been educating. We're at every health fair. We run health fairs. We do fundraisers now. We do community events. We do stuff like this. And I have seen in my 8 years a huge difference in the attitude. People will come up and actually talk to us about their substance abuse, how many years they're in recovery, their family, and that never used to happen. So if the stigma is lessening at all, that's big.
Ben Nogle, your colleague, spoke at a commissioner's meeting yesterday about the stigma thing, and I was astounded to hear that there was progress being made there because it's touched every family, has it not?
And I think that's what's starting to happen. Yeah. People are realizing...
I mean, rich and poor. I mean, it's
that doesn't matter.
All the way.
That doesn't matter. I mean, the people that we come through, that we see coming through the doors here are people you'd be surprised at. It's not just what you think a substance abuser might look like. They've been business leaders. They've been prominent people. And obviously, you know, it's everybody. It's everybody. Alcohol will always be number one by far.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's the easiest stuff to get, I suppose.
Yeah. It's still, there's less of a stigma with alcohol. It's easily gettable. It is
interesting that after Prohibition, the state store system was set up in Pennsylvania to try to limit use of this stuff.
Yeah.
And now they advertise on the radio.
And now you can get it everywhere now. You can get it everywhere now. Yeah.
Yeah. So
they kind of lost control of that, didn't they?
Right. They kind of did, yeah. Our guest is Pete Lohner from PSI, or Personal Solutions, Inc. here in Bedford, and we're talking about recovery. Talk to me about recovery. Everybody knows, or not everybody knows, but everybody sees, at least in the media, that people have a terrible drug problem, and they go all the way from having a good life to living under a bridge someplace. And so it's a path. You begin at the beginning and you try to make the recovery. And I've heard everyone who has been through this process, they speak to themselves as recovery in the present tense. In other words, there's no end. It's just you are recovering. You're not recovered.
You're never recovered.
Yeah.
You're never recovered. I've had, in that, I mentioned earlier, that 20, 25-year run, I'd had moments of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
But I would always go back to it. And the second I went back to it, within 2 weeks, I was using like I was prior. I don't speak of this proudly, but as an example, I call myself a pillhead. I was always into prescription painkillers. Mm-hmm. And at my highest, I was taking about 50 a day.
Oh, my word.
Now, that started with a half of a 5-milligram Vicodin. And ended up 50 10-milligram Norcos a day. And I remember I had a doctor that said, he goes, "You don't even realize that you titrated so carefully and so well that your body was able to, get used to this." He goes, "What would kill most people?" Mm-hmm. Towards the end, I was just taking handfuls, because what people don't realize, it stops working after a while. That euphoria stops. So I was taking handfuls to try to override not feeling anything, and maybe I can still get a little buzz, and you were just passing out. You know, I don't realize, who knows, I may have overdosed a few times by just passing out, but thank God, I was never Narcan back, or thank God I'm still here. But what happens is I look back at the things I did to get drugs then, and it was a different person. I would never do. I mean, I was calling in prescriptions. I was writing prescriptions. I was caught 3 times. And they're felonies.
Has law enforcement got pretty aware of what's going on now compared to what it was several years ago? I mean, they just throw a guy in the back of the car. They call people like you and, and others to try to do something.
Yeah, and actually, if when we see, especially state parole, we see our parole agents often, and they're really, they don't want them throwing them in jail. It's recovery, recovery, right. recovery. Probation is the same way. They'll lessen someone's jail time to put them in recovery. I do the jail assessments here in Medford County, and that's usually what happens. You know, we'll lessen your jail time. You need to do some jail time, and sometimes you should do some jail time, but we'll lessen that and get you into recovery.
Right. Our guest is Pete Lohner from PSI, Personal Solutions, Inc., here in Bedford. We are very fortunate to have such an organization like this here in our community, because I've lived in big cities like Pete has, and I can't even imagine what that must be like. It must be the problem cubed. I mean, it's just, thousands and thousands of people. And there are probably hundreds and hundreds of PSIs in some of these major markets like New York, Philadelphia, Boston, Atlanta, and places like that. So there's really no different. We're in maybe a smaller piece of that, but in a big place, they just have it with more quantity.
Oh, sure.
So blowing up these boats in the Caribbean, does that help?
I mean, anything that can stop it,
yeah.
But they're always going to find a way in. I mean, you blow up a couple of boats, that's great, but they're always going to find a way in.
You know, I don't know that I would want to be a boat driver right now down there. I think that if I go to my boss, you know, and say, listen, Jose, I'm not taking the boat out today, if you don't mind.
We're not shrimping today.
Because I may have a Stinger missile headed for my boat. But, you know, I do believe that anything you can do. But, yeah, it is a matter of supply and demand, and it's demand that drives all this, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And it still comes, no matter what we do with China, whatever agreements we make with China, they have the precursors. It comes over to us, to the cartels. The cartels make it, and they ship it into us. Now, the current president does seem to be, not to get into politics, does seem to be more of kind of a hard ass about
action guy.
He's doing it. He's blowing up the boats. Right. But I don't see it ending. And right now, it's by far the opiate problem is kind of gone. They talk about opioid settlement money and all that. The opioids kind of peaked and gone.
What caused that, you think?
Well, again, when I was using, you could get real prescribed pain medication.
Right.
And for about 5 or 6 years, there was a time where you could get it online. And that's what I was doing. I had five or six different identities and accounts. And I had trucks coming in. I tell the story of one day a FedEx, UPS, and DHL truck pulled up at the same time. And I had 450 painkillers. Okay. And that's the kind of stuff I did.
Right.
It literally rewires your mind. You become a person that you don't even recognize anymore. But the problem is you can't find prescription painkillers anymore. Anything that you see on the streets, and I say this to everybody, if somebody gives you a pill, it's fake. It will kill you.
I see. Yeah. Our guest is Pete Lohner, and when we come back, we're going to speak to one of his colleagues, Pete Ben Nalgo, who is very good at this, by the way. He's almost as good as you, Pete, but I'm telling you, he's very good at this. And he's going to tell us a little bit about his side of this deal and what he does here as a case manager, correct?
Intensive case manager.
Intensive case manager. Okay. When Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Leah Peppel of Allegheny College of Maryland, Bedford County Campus, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks.
Today's Bedford County Speaks is presented as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association. BCDA President Jen Marsh, along with her professional staff, are building new business, residential, and outdoor recreation opportunities in Bedford County. BCDA builds business parks and fully operational building sites, such as the newly opened Rural Electric Cooperative Operations Center in Business Park 1, or site-ready locations in Business Park 2. In addition to excellent locations for business and industry, BCDA builds relationships that have added millions of dollars and thousands of jobs to Bedford County. BCDA represents a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org.
Let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned to the PSI organization, Personal Solutions, Inc. They're right next to the Clark Building. In fact, I think this is a Clark Building for we're in. You know, Clark owns all the buildings in this part of town. Ben, what a pleasure it is to see you again. Ben has been a participant in my little radio broadcast here for some time. We've had him on several of our newscasts, and we did a 9-part series with him a few years ago about this topic. Ben, I keep asking you guys if anything has changed, but I think things have changed. I think the awareness that you guys have created in Bedford County has definitely taken root.
Yeah. I mean, I've been here at PSI for 4 years, a little over 4 years. And I would say since I've started here, as Pete was saying, we got a little more freedom to kind of make contact with the community and let people know what exactly we are doing. I do believe that there is still stigma here in Bedford County surrounding substance use disorder and recovery. But I do believe that has lessened. I believe everybody that has a part in dealing with clients with substance use disorder, everyone's kind of on the same page now. We're all aware of each other, we're all speaking to each other, and we're acting as a team rather than just kind of ignoring right. one another.
And when I first met you guys, you were telling me about the opioids and things like this. And then I went to a couple of your meetings that you have, these barn meetings, these excellent meetings, the Bedford Area Recovery Network, I believe. And the barn meetings, I learned things like, we've got this new super-duper marijuana now. So if it isn't bad enough that you said the opioids are falling off the edge, but now we have something maybe not to replace, but something else to play with. Tell me about the super-duper marijuana, because I understand that's a killer.
Yeah, it's not quite as benign as people might think. It has way more potency than it's ever have. There's a lot of studies coming out surrounding mental health or early adolescence using THC, high-potency THC. Years ago, if you would have asked, I'm sure either Pete or myself, if you could become addicted to THC or marijuana, I wouldn't have believed you. But now it's not the same as it was back in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. It's especially whenever the younger generation, adolescents, are starting off with 40-50% THC products. It can really have an impact on their development, and in some cases exacerbate any underlying mental health that may be there. So it's not quite as benign as people might think generally.
So you see the movies of the late 60s when they had the Vietnam War protests and all the kids are out on the street or in the park someplace, and they're all smoking marijuana and showing off to the cops and so forth. That was child's play compared to what we have now.
Yeah, some of the products you can get now, I mean, the regular THC flower, the marijuana flower that everybody's used to seeing, can be 30, 40, 50% THC. Now, they can also create extracts where they extract THC from the cannabis plant and kind of combine it all together, and you'll see extract, or that usually comes in the form of vaporizers or dabs or butters, or there's a bunch of different terms you can refer to it as, but essentially it's a high potency form of THC, sometimes 70-80-90% THC.
So if I'm a parent, I've got teenagers at home, what should I know about this stuff? I mean, what would I look for?
I mean, all the usual signs of THC use, red eyes, lethargic, lack of interest in things that they normally would be doing, a change in their schedule or the people that they're hanging out with. Basically, the best thing you can do, in my opinion, as a parent or somebody with younger people around you, is to just educate them as much as possible, make sure they're aware of the risks that come along, not just with THC, but any type of substance use, really. And if they have any questions about any of that, the parents or guardians or whoever, they can always call our office. We'd be more than willing to talk to somebody and educate them so they can educate their loved ones.
You're listening to Bedford County Speaks. My name is Lloyd Roach. I'm speaking with Ben Naugle from PSI, or Personal Solutions, Inc. And today's program is brought to you today by BCDA, the Bedford County Development Association. They do a fine job of bringing jobs to this county. They have an enormous operation over there, and we really recommend you check them out. They're very interesting. They go to their website, bcda.org. Ben, we gravitate from, we were used to be told that there was kind of a pyramid, or maybe a pyramid, it would be a ladder. You go with it to marijuana, then you go to something harder and something harder and harder. Does that still exist, or is it all coming at us at once?
Yeah, the whole gateway drug
thing. That's what I was searching for, gateway, right?
Yeah, the gateway drug phenomenon, I'm not 100% sure, because there's so many different risk factors when it comes to substance use disorder that I don't think it's one specific substance or one specific situation. I think that people that are predisposed to some of the risk factors of substance use disorder it doesn't matter if it's alcohol first, marijuana first, nicotine first. To me, the substance use disorder or the addiction is more about the behaviors, the underlying risk factors, than the actual substances people use. Being in recovery myself, I can tell you that what I've learned throughout my 7 years of recovery is that I have certain qualities that go along with substance use disorder. I'm a very obsessive person. I'm very compulsive. Sometimes I can be very irrational. And it doesn't matter if it's substances, food, gambling, shopping, whatever it may be. As someone in recovery, I have to be careful not to overdo things.
So you're already wired this way.
Right. I truly believe that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let me go to another topic, if I may. We kind of brushed over alcoholism. When I was a kid, so many of my relatives, alcoholics, that it was also, it was just kind of, that's what happens to every family. Everybody has a drunk in the family. Yeah. But we've gotten a little smarter now. Is alcohol still as much of a problem as it was then, or has it become more visible? I know Pete alluded to this. It's the top 10. So what about alcohol? You run into that?
Yeah, alcohol is very, very common. I would say now more so in the older population, not necessarily. I'd say 30s and above is where we see a lot of the alcohol use. And pretty much everybody that I do an assessment with, when I ask them if there's any family history of any alcoholism or substance use disorder, they all say what you just kind of told me, that an aunt or uncle or their parents or grandparents were pretty severe alcoholics. Alcohol is very easy to get. It's relatively socially accepted. So that will always be in the number one or number two slot here as far as the substances we see that are abused. Yeah.
So what drives this? Anxiety, job pressure, things like that? You said something yesterday in that meeting, the commissioners, it really got to me. You said you called it the fallback or the default. In other words, when you get stressed out, you go to this thing. And I guess alcohol is one of the things that are easy to go to. You get down to the States, to buy a bottle of gin, and you're all on your way, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And again, it can be a different substance or different behavior for everybody. But as I was saying, there's mental health can play a part. Environment growing up can play a part, who you're hanging out with on a daily basis. You know, there's many, many different risk factors. I truly believe that addiction is a disease, and I think that some people are just born wired this way. Mm-hmm. So depending on what situations you're in, growing up or as an adult, it can be easier to turn to alcohol, marijuana. Those are probably the top two. Followed up with methamphetamine, and then we go down the line, prescription pills, cocaine, things like that.
Now, Pete said that the opioids are kind of on the wane. Is this because they're harder to get now?
Yeah, I would say that definitely plays a part in it. As far as getting legitimate prescription opioids, definitely harder. But again, it'll just be replaced by something else. So we're not seeing as much fentanyl or opioid use now. Primarily, I see methamphetamine use, which at the end of the day, most of the time, generally has some fentanyl in it. I tell my clients to kind of just assume that anything that you're consuming as far as substances go, there is a good chance that fentanyl is probably in there. But we have seen a decrease in the fentanyl use and the opioid use in general. It's been a really long time since someone has told me that they're using heroin.
Methamphetamine is fascinating to me because when I was in college, I was a dorm proctor. I took care of the dormitories for the freshman class. And the dean of the school brought me into her office and said, "Do you know what meth is?" I hadn't a clue. I thought she could have been talking about a chocolate bar. I didn't know. And so she told me what it was. And so that's been around for decades and decades, and you're still talking about it today.
Still talking about it, yeah. So we kind of go through drug trends is what we refer to them as. So, you know, we had the alcohol stuff, then the THC craze, and then the crack cocaine epidemic, then the opioid epidemic, and now we're seeing more of an increase in methamphetamine. It's been around for a long time. The stuff that we're seeing now is not just the old school make it at your house in a soda bottle, shake and bake methamphetamine. It's more of really high potent, pure glass methamphetamine.
Ben, thank you very much. I really appreciate your talking to me. We're going to switch the microphone back over to Pete here and wrap up the program with him. But I really appreciate you doing that. Thanks a lot. Ben's always been a great guest when we've had him on the station. He really knows his stuff. Pete, once again, I'm always astounded when I come here and I learn all this stuff. Sometimes it's very distressing, but sometimes it can be very encouraging considering you guys are trying to get ahead of this. Is there anything new going on out there that we should know about, new threats or new solutions, anything like that?
Probably the number one thing that Ben and I run into is part of THC, but it's the stuff that's available to kids in smoke shops and vape shops.
You can get it at a vape shop?
Sure. The stuff like TNEptine, called gas station heroin. And there's something brand new that's it's a new threat. Well, it's a new threat to this area called 7OH. It's an offshoot of Kratom.
An offshoot of?
Kratom. Yeah. And now Kratom's been around for centuries.
I see.
Used as pain medication and anti-anxieties in tribal areas.
So I mean, the Romans were into this.
It's been around for a long, long, long time. But now they're finding offshoots about this. And we did a hospital visit a couple months back, and we were told the guy was detoxing from opiates. So we went up, and I spoke to the guy. I said, "What are you using?" And he said, I went and I bought the 7OH stuff, and it was in pill form. And I said, "So you're the first person that I've spoken to. What is it like?" I said, "As an opiate addict myself, what is it like?" He goes, "It's like taking Percocet. It's that strong, and the withdrawal and the detox is brutal." And he was in a lot of discomfort. Stuff you can buy at the smoke shop, the vape shop, the Delta Chews, the gummies.
Now why is this legally available there?
A lot of times it's called they're called dietary supplements or for educational purposes only. Ben's actually a little more knowledgeable about that. It has something to do with PharmaX and everything else in the state. But the problem is, the immediate problem is that they have flavors like, you know, pink lemonade and strawberry blueberry. So, and they're colorfully packaged, so kids go for them. And there's usually maybe two squares in each little package. What they don't tell you, so the kids will like pop the two squares. What they don't tell you is that the dosage is a half of one of those squares. So these things taste like jujubes or whatever we had when we were growing up. They taste like candy, and usually it takes an hour and a half, 2 hours later, the kid's fried. I mean, this stuff is very, very powerful. That's the Delta 8 and Delta 9 problem.
You guys are amazing. I just I can't get over how much I learned when I come here. We're out of time, but I really appreciate you talking to both of you. I want to thank Pete Lohner and Ben Nalgo here at PSI. I wish you all the best in your continued efforts.
Excellent.
One final thing. You have these little barn meetings. What is the purpose of those, the Bedford Area Recovery Network?
We started something like that years ago. Actually, the year before Ben came on, we had something called the Overdose Awareness Group. And we just thought it was an idea to get all the agencies together that deal with substance abuse or have anything to do with any of the nonprofits. Let's get them together on the same page so we can all talk at the same time, learning about what's going on in their groups, what's going on here, fundraisers, share ideas. And over the years, it's kind of just evolved into what is now the Bedford Area Recovery Network. It's kind of acting now as almost like a human services council, which right now does not exist anymore. It's a place for all nonprofits. We have doctors, nurses, recovery specialists, educators. They all come here once a month, first Tuesday of every month, and we just get together for an hour or so, and we share information, news, and what's going on with our organization.
What's impressed me is when I go to these meetings, I see people there from all these agencies you talk about, including the jail.
The jail, the magistrate judges, everybody.
Everybody, Well, thanks again. It was great to see you both, and I appreciate it very much. We want to thank Ben Nalgo and Pete Lohner for joining us today on Bedford County Speaks. And I want to thank you for listening. And don't forget, the program is sponsored to you today by BCDA. We want to thank them both. And the morning's program is brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org. This is Lloyd Roach. See you next Saturday. Until then, have a great week.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks over 98.7 FM and 1310 AM WBFD. The show is heard right here every Saturday at 8:30 AM. If you'd like to hear the program again, visit bedfordcountyspeaks.com. Join us next time for Bedford County Speaks.